Again, we've entered into this fast, so want you to be in very much continue to pray about it. Where your part is, where you're going to fast. Remember, if you can't do the full 3 days, which I know most of us can't do that because of certain circumstances, and because sometimes that's just pretty hard. God doesn't look down upon you because you can't do a full 3 days. But if you can pick something during that time, during those 3 days, where you can take like a meal and take it out for the 3 days, or you want to take one full day, or you want to take a lunch here and a breakfast here or something like that. Just participate somehow, and that would be a good thing for you. Just not only for you, but also collectively for all of us here at New Life Fellowship. And so believe me, if you do it, and you do it with the right heart, and you do it through prayer, and you do this, and you do the best that you can, you will grow from it, okay? You certainly will grow from it. I don't see not growing from it. So it's just good to be obedient before the Lord. And if men of renown of the old days and women of that did it in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we ought to be able to do it today. So it's a little bit of work, but it's a good thing. So, again, I just want to challenge you with that. James had his baptism this morning, right? So we have a certificate for him. So come on up here, buddy. Y'all can give him a round. There you go. All right, buddy. Great. It's always good to see believers come to Christ, and it's good to see believers who have come to Christ to follow in the baptism, and that's a great thing. So now when we take communion next time, man, you get to be part of that. So that's a really good piece. So, well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke tonight a little bit tonight, and I want you to go there. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14 for a bit. During these times of the year, we compete. Unfortunately, we compete with football. We compete with all kinds of things. But you know what? It is what it is. Churches compete on Sunday nights with football. It's basketball, March Madness. It just continues to go on down the line. There's always something to compete with. Somebody sent me a picture today of an Asian church that was flooded about 12 inches. And they said, look at this, they are still having church. They walked to church and it was flooded, and they all walked in there. I was like, what the world? You'd think they'd get all kinds of, some type of sickness or something. But they were standing there, and they stood in front of their pews, and the water was about up to here. And they were singing and preaching, and they had church in a flooded church. And then down at the bottom it says, and what is your excuse for not attending church today? So it was amazing. But they were there attending church, regardless of what it was. They wanted to be there. Because I think sometimes we think church is kind of a, we kind of think church is kind of a, oh, I'll go when I want to go. I go when I feel good. And I think that picture kind of changed, if you look at it, it's definitely, I'll show it to you if you want to see it later. But if you want to look at it, it's just, it should put, no one to put us to shame or anything. It's just, they honor God. They just honor God. They'll worship wherever they need to worship Him. And like I said this morning, God's watching. And so if they went with the right intentions, God's going to be pleased with that, and there'll be blessings in that. So I want to talk tonight a little bit about the cost of being a disciple. I want to talk to you about the cost of being a disciple. Jesus is walking around. He's doing some great and amazing things, and people are amazed. People are getting healed. People are hearing him talk and preach, and people were hearing him. He's just touching people, and they're healing, and people are just getting, they're just so overwhelmed. Thousands of people get fed, and like, where did all that food come from? There was no train, there's no ship, just like a basket of food, and wow, it just multiplies, and they see all these miracle signs and these kind of things. So, man, everybody wants to get on that gravy train. Everybody wants to get on that, right? Everybody wants to get on that. But, to a point there, to be a disciple, it's just the whole thing we have in our country. Our country has all this where they want to give everything free away. And so everybody wants to get on that gravy train, right? Everybody wants to get on that train. And then when they find out, well, we can vote everybody back in again so I can get my free stuff again. It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. I'm going to remind you, even when we have our tax time, you see all these commercials. Hey, get your big tax refund. Listen, not everybody gets a refund. There are people paying those taxes, okay? There are people paying into that, all right? So things are not as free as you think they are, all right? Things are not free. And so here we see what is the cost of being a disciple? Jesus has got a bunch of people following him. What is the cost of being a disciple? The cost of being a true Christian is not coming to church on Sunday and then forgetting God the rest of the week. It's not saying, okay, I made my confession and I'm done for the rest of the week. Now I'll come whenever I feel like coming. When it feels good to me, then I'll go. Or when I need God, I'll come find him. Being a disciple, well, let's look at what Jesus says, okay? In chapter 14, Jesus has a lot to say. We don't have a lot of time to go through all of it, but we're going to go through a little bit of it. But the cost of being a disciple is not cheap, all right? All right? Verse 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus and turning to them, and he said, so large crowds, all right? So we see large crowds are coming. Now, in verse, we can't get into all of it, so we're going to get a couple verses here because I want to move on to a couple other things. So the first thing about being the cost of being a disciple, what is the cost of it? Number one, you're going to have to carry something. And you have to carry your cross. Okay? You're going to have to carry your cross. Verse 27, it says, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Okay, let's take a time out for a moment. Being a disciple is not what you think it is. It's about what God's word says it is. I wish American Christians would stop thinking we need to figure out, we need to do what we want to do. No, we need to get on to what God's word says. This is what he says about carrying your cross. This is what he says. Anyone who does not carry his cross, okay, you have to carry the cross. You have to carry your cross, okay? All right? That doesn't mean the cross, all right? There's only one that could do that, and that was Jesus. But he says you got to carry, okay? You have to carry your cross, all right? And what? And follow me, and follow Jesus, okay? You can't carry your cross and follow someone else. You can't carry your cross and go somewhere, because it's not going to work. The cross and Jesus are just, they're together. They're not inseparable, okay? If you talk about Jesus, and you can't talk about Jesus without talking about the cross, okay? It's the same thing with us. We start talking about us. Well, what cross are you carrying? What cross are you carrying? Well, what cross are you carrying? Okay? And it should be wrapped around the gospel. It should be wrapped around what God's called you to do. It should be wrapped around whatever ministry you are. Whoever it is, it's about you, though. It's your life, okay? All right? It's your life in God. So anyone who does not carry his cross, okay? And that means all the things that come with that. And we'll get into a few of those. And follow me. He says, you cannot be my disciple, period. Period. You can't be my disciple. I think there's a lot of people out here, and a lot of people think that a lot of Christians are today trying to make this thing about Jesus all about love, which there's a lot about love, but only about love. All about forgiveness and only about forgiveness. It's not just about one or the other. It's about the whole thing of God. You know, there is a wrath of God. There is a discipline from God. Okay? Listen, if you're not attending church, you're not worshiping, and your life with God is not right, and you want God to turn around and bless you, I'm telling you, God don't bless a mess, okay? You know, when the people were in Israel, you know, the Israelites were wandering out there, we talked about that this morning, for 40 years, he says, you're not going to go into the promised land. One thing he did do for them, though, he still blessed them in certain ways, but they missed what they were called to do, okay? They chose not to follow into what, so what was they doing? God says, I'll give you clothes, and they're not going to wear out. And their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out either. Okay? God took care of them and provided for them, but they didn't live up to their potential and what God called them to be. And God's called us not to just to be Christians, but to be disciples. I'm asking you tonight, are you a disciple? Okay? If you're a disciple, what's it say? And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple, period. Okay? Period. So number one about cost of being a disciple is you've got to carry your cross. Okay? And that's the thing you need to figure out. You need to process that. Okay? All right? Then we're going to jump down to verse 33. What else is the cost of being a disciple? Well, he says, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he had cannot be my disciple. You know, your car should belong. You should say, my car is a gift for me before the Lord. However you got it, whatever it is, it's a gift for me. I need to take care of it. I need my house, whatever it is. Everything that I have, everything, includes your money. Okay? He says, in the same way, he says, any of you who does not give up everything that he has cannot be my disciple. Let me ask you, what are you holding back that God's not getting? And I want to tell you, it's usually not something that you have materially. It's something that you are on the inside. It's where you're at. What is your attitude? What is it? When you have an attitude or you have an attitude, which means you're not agreeing with the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. It's not pulling you to the things of the Lord. Listen, if you just give yourself to God, everything that you are, those walls that you have around you will come down. It wasn't Joshua and the people that knocked the walls down. They were just being obedient, walking around when and how God wanted them to, exactly when and exactly how. And when they did it God's way, God's the one that brought the walls down. God's the one that brought the Jericho around, down to the ground. You can look at the obstacle. You can look what's in front of you. But if you do it God's way and you give him everything, he'll bring it all down. Okay? Or he'll lift up what needs to be lifted up. He'll make a hole. He'll make a door. He'll do what he needs to do. But we need to make sure we're right with him. If I want to be a disciple and you want to be a disciple, it says here, that Jesus says, we have to give everything. Everything that we have belongs to God. Okay? So let's look at this thing real quick before we move on. Wow, number one, if I want to be a disciple, I got to carry my own cross. There's a little bit of work to this thing. And sometimes it can be heavy. And I got to carry that thing. I got to carry the cross. I got to carry the gospel wherever I go. Cannot be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to carry my cross. Number two, everything that I have has got to be his. You know what God is saying? You got to empty yourself. In Philippians, it says Jesus emptied himself. Okay? All right? To go to the cross and in all those things there. We have to empty ourselves. We got to get rid of our self. Okay? We have to get rid of ourselves. We have to get rid of those. So the true thing, the true self, the true person that God's created in us will come out. His purposes will come out. And that's going to cause us some issues. Because isn't that part of the Great Commission that we go out to make disciples of all nations, right? So we're called to do these things. We're called to do all of that. So we're called to carry our cross, and we're called to give everything up. And God says there's going to be a little bit more. There's going to be a little bit more. I want you to turn over to James for a minute. We'll be there in 1 Peter for a moment too tonight. But there's something else that's going to happen. Once we start to carry our cross and we start looking different, and we start to give everything up, some things are going to happen to us. Okay? In James chapter 1, it says this in verse 2. He says, consider a pure joy. Oh my, I'm supposed to consider this stuff a pure joy. He says, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So he says, right now, I'm going to face trials. I'm going to face some trials now. And I'm supposed to be happy about it. Because I'm a disciple. You're a disciple. So he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So there's going to be trials that's going to happen with us for being a disciple. This is where we get upset with. Like, I thought God was going to take care of this. I thought he said he'd never give me more than I can handle. Why am I going through this? Why does it always happen to me? Why does it always seem like every time I try to take one step forward, I've got to take two steps back? I'm not getting anywhere. What's going on here? I don't understand it. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be trials. Anybody that starts ministries, you're going to have obstacles. Starting churches, you're going to have obstacles. This is what was said from a pastor, a couple of pastors that have I call them, they're seasoned pastors. Probably, I know one right now, he's in his 80s, and he says, man, you know, there's so much a difference with young pastors today. Young pastors today, man, they want X amount of money, they want a big budget, and they want a car, and they want a house, and they want all the things that they need. And he says, man, guys will work for that, work, and some of the churches can never even afford that through their whole tenure in a church. And we have young pastors today coming through and getting out of seminary expecting to get all of that in a pay package, and then they are stunned when they don't get it. I think they kind of forgot that you're supposed to, we're going to face trials of many kinds, which means the trials are going to come. One wave is going to come. I don't know if you've ever been in the ocean and you get hit by a wave, it kind of takes you down, takes your breath away. Sometimes you get up and you're like, oh, and here comes another one. And the waves just keep on coming. And that's what happens sometimes in your life as a Christian, as a disciple. Okay? But not only is just trials going to happen, all of a sudden we see in verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Okay? So we see that there's going to be some testing going on. God's going to test us through some things. Now, why is all this important? Why is all this about the cost of being a disciple? Why is it important that we got to carry our cross? Why is it important that we got to give up everything? Why is it important that we got to go through trials and tough times? And why is it we got to go through times of testing? Well, we're going to find out. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter for a minute. Why do we go through all of this stuff? Why do we go through all this stuff? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? You seen his face? You got a phone call from him? Has he called you on your telephone? Has he sent you a letter signed by Jesus that was for you? Have you got a text from him? You got an email from him? Why you get up on Sunday mornings and go to church? Why do you pick up your Bible? Why do you have a little Bible in your car when you have break times or whatever, and you pull it out and you read it? Why do you do all that stuff? The world's asking you why you do it. I'm asking you tonight why you do it. Is being a disciple of Jesus really worth all of that crazy spiro-gyro lifestyle? Let's see what Peter has to say. Verse 3 says, praise be to the God of the Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed in the last days, or last time. That's what he says in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, Peter even says it, we haven't seen him. Okay, he has, but we haven't, right? Though, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Do you love Jesus? You've never seen him. How can you love someone you don't haven't seen? How can you love someone that has not physically contacted you by an email or by a letter, or hasn't come to your house and said, I'm here for dinner? This is a challenging question. How do you know that? How do you know he's real? How do you know you have him in your life? How do you know? How do you know that everybody assembles on Sundays? This whole thing is just putting on some big play to make people feel better about themselves, to give some kind of hope in the world. Peter says it right off the bat. Though you have not seen him, he says you love him. How can we love someone we haven't seen? But you have seen him. When we think about seeing, we always think about using our eyes. Do you know if you talk to a blind person, they have their sense of smell is higher than those who cannot see? their sense of touch. You ever put your hand? I went to the bank when the drive-thru and put my finger on the braille there. I'm like, I don't even feel any difference. It's just, you know, just try to put your hand across the braille of the braille. I don't know what it's doing, but they do. Their sense of touch and smell and feel and those things, their senses are just heightened so high. When you think you know how to love until you come to Christ and you feel and know how He loves us, how God loves us, we begin to learn how to love Him and to love others. Even though we don't see Him, that part in us heightens, and that part of our love heightens even more, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. A person don't know really how to love until we come to know Christ, that we understand what true love really is. He says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. We love Him because of, well, the Bible tells us we love Him because He first loved us, right? Because we know that we were lost in our sins and we couldn't figure out on our own. But what does it say? He says, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, I don't see Him now, you don't see Him now, we see creation, we see His works, the effects of His works. We see the change in people's lives because of Him. But He says, even though you have not seen Him now, you believe in Him. So, even though we don't see Him, we love Him. Even though we haven't seen Him, we believe in Him. And that's what faith is. Being sure of what you don't see, but you know it's the real deal. And because of what God has done and what He has done through us in our lives, which those things become what we call testimonies. You see, the Muslim world is running around trying to force people to accept a God that doesn't exist. If we'd understand a God that does exist, you wouldn't want to force Him on anybody. It's the love that Christ has and the love that God has that compels people to come to Him. But there's a choice. And the Muslims, the jihadists, they go around and they're trying to force it on the world and take world domination. Because that's how they feel that that's supposed to be. We don't do that as Christians. We share the compassion that God's compassion come upon us. We share the forgiveness that we received from Christ Himself. We share the love that He has given to us Himself and the grace and the mercy. God is revealing to me more about His mercy, but more about His grace now than probably probably ever. So when I see men, those of the ISIS group, I can get angry and my military heart gets up and says, well, let's just go ahead and lay them out and be done with them. And there's a time to do that. The Bible says there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. But the Holy Spirit continues to remind me that once they breathe their last, it's over. The Bible says they go to hell. So there are men today with the evilness in their heart because they grew up and because that's what's in them and that's the realm, that's their world. They have not known love. Women don't have rights for anything. And there are people and Muslims coming to Christ. And God continues to remind me, I died for them as well. He says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And what's it say? And we are in our field with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You can't get the joy that we talk about when we're talking about this. You cannot have that joy like what God gives to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, through salvation. We can't get that joy. You can't buy it. It's like watching the Super Bowl. It's something, you know, you sit there and we think, well, I can get the joys of the world. It's kind of like watching the Super Bowl. You have a joy of a moment. It's in a 3-5-hour game. Anyway, it's a 5-hour session. And after that, the next day, that joy is gone. That's old news. Something great happens for you. It may last for 3 months. But then it becomes old, and it's old news. And even when people get married, it's great for a year, it's great for two, but everybody else, you're happy about it, but everybody else is like, okay, that's old news. Great, hope you're married for the rest of your life, go on. Things change. Our roller coasters of joy is always up and down. But when the joy comes from Christ from the inside, it's a joy that we have that's inexpressible. It's eternal. It's the real deal. It's when you're going through bad times and you say, you know what, even though I'm going this low, I still feel pretty good about getting through it because I know who's with me. Because I know what the scriptures say. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. You begin to know that because those scriptures become your food. It's kind of what we're doing with this fast. God and his word and prayer will be our spiritual food for these next 3 days. And as much as you might like to eat a steak at Old Charlie's or wherever you like to go once in a while, it's not even going to compare to what you're going to get out of this fast if you put it in, if you put your heart and your spirit into this fast. And I know right now, some of us are battling already. How are we going to do it? How am I going to figure out? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know what I'm going to work it out. But I know this. He says, you know what? You haven't seen him, but you love him. He says, you have not seen him, but you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, he says, this salvation is yours. The salvation is yours. I don't know if you understand and know that there is a time when it's all going to be over with. It's either Jesus is coming in our lifetime, or Jesus is going to come and call us up in the air and we're going to go and he's going to take us home. But let me share with you something here in Revelations. Let me share something with you. I want you to just listen for a moment. John is speaking. He says this in verse 1. He says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life. It's as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night, and there will need not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. It's coming, and I want to be a part of that. So part of being a disciple is understanding, knowing that things are not just physical, but they are spiritual. Other things about being a disciple is knowing that that you have eternal life. And Jesus says this, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. He says in verse 22, I'll back up a little bit. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the lambs are its temple. The city did not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light and the lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you don't get to go in. Basically, he says, if you're not my disciple, you're not going in. We're so much about trying to figure out how to get it right in the moment instead of trying to figure out how to get it right in an extension. I don't know what you feel where you're at as a disciple of Christ, but I know this. You're breathing because God has given man the breath of life. Life is a gift. And what you do with it, you're accountable for it. So you can look at the one who died for you on the cross and paid the cost for you for your life. And we can never repay that back. But we can take the free gift, and I hope that you have. You've taken that free gift. But here, what do you do with that? Are you just going to be a receiver on it? Are you going to say, wow, I'm starting to understand what this gift is. It's so huge. It costs so much. It's given to me. And I received it, and I took it. And once I begin to open up who Jesus is, I begin to open up all this about discipleship, is it so much that he might ask to say, now can I have your life? That's the best gift. That's the best that we can do. We can't compare. Our life is nothing compared to Jesus. It's nothing. But could we get to that moment and the place sometime? Maybe through this fast you might think about it, talk about, can you possibly say, man, God has done so much for me. Jesus has given everything for me. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. I have heaven as my promise. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's laid out a future plan for me that is just awesome. I have one moment to live in this life. It's like seconds compared to eternity. And should I be worried about the futile things in life? Or could I do something great with my life? Maybe I could do this. Maybe I know I can't give back what he gave to me, but maybe I could do this. Maybe I can give all that I have. Maybe I'm supposed to give myself back as a gift to God. Although I'm not perfect, but I'm going to give myself back not as I was, but as a disciple. I'm going to carry my cross. I'm going to give everything that I have. I know I'm going to go through trials and tribulations because the world don't love me now because I'm not working with the world now. I'm not going to live as the world does. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be a light to the darkness. So maybe the best thing that I can do is give my life back to Jesus and let him do it as he sees fit. Let me tell you, you're still getting the best deal out of it. You're still getting the best deal. You're still getting the best deal out of this whole thing. You're getting the best part. Because your salvation has already been paid for. Heaven is your home. You're going to get to see Jesus and God. You're going to get to see them. You're going to get to go in and out the doors of heaven. There's a promise for you there. You're going to be taken care of for the rest of eternity. Did you hear what I just said? You're going to be taken care of for the rest of eternity. Guess when that began? When you asked Jesus into your heart. When you asked Jesus into your heart. Being a Christian, it just gets better. It gets hard. But when you look at it spiritually, it just gets better. It gets better. So I'm going to ask you, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of Christ? Let me close with this. That's us. But let's look at the other side. He says, so those who are not disciples of Christ, those who did not come to Christ, let's look at the end of that. He says this in chapter 20 in Revelation. Then I saw a great white throne of him who was seated in it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. You know what? That tells us, anybody that does not have Christ, I don't care who they are, it could have been King Tut, and it could be 25 of our presidents. It doesn't matter what position you've had in the world. You are nothing compared to God. You are just a human being. You may have had status, a rock and roll status. You may have a name on the name on the big star block, all that stuff. Boo-hoo. It is not impressing God. Okay? They're all going to be assembled before the throne. He says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he has done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name, here we're going to read this again. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. These are not my words. These are scriptures from the book of Revelation that tells us we read the awesome stuff for those who are disciples for Christ, and we read just now those who are not disciples who've chosen to walk in the ways of the world and ignore and refuse the gift that God's given to us, which is Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid that so many of us says, oh, I am saved and I'm over here and I'm so thankful. Well, I am thankful too. But let's not stop at salvation. Let's keep moving. Not that we earn our salvation. We didn't earn anything. Jesus came as a gift and to die as that sacrifice for us so that we might have an opportunity to reach out and grasp that salvation through Christ. It's only a gift that God gives to us through Christ. But once we become saved, once we have that salvation, and God puts our names and written, and He writes our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, once that name gets in there, we are not going to stand in front of that great white throne, but we are going to stand before God in a different way, as a disciple. Now I'm going to ask you, are you the disciple that God wants you to be right now? I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to finish well. Do well right now. Do well. Yes, yes, you have to carry your cross. Yes, it costs you everything. Yes, you're going to face trouble. Yes, you're going to be tested from time to time. But it's all worth it. And it's nothing compared to what Christ has done for us on the cross. Amen? So I hope tonight, listen, don't let anything stand in your way of becoming the Christian, the disciple that God wants you to be. Why do we go through all this? Because He loves us. He saved us. He's given us a future of eternal life. He's given us eternal life. We're not separated. It's amazing. The most amazing things to me is this. God's given us heaven. We're going to be a part of it. If you look at anybody that's famous or anything of power in the world, guess what they do? This is my house, and all you minions, you go over there. Because you're lower than me. God says, no, you come into my house. I'm leaving. Come in. What a God we serve. So I just pray that during this fast, you will draw closer to Christ, that you will have a desire to draw closer to God, that you understand, you know, maybe you say, I am a good disciple. Well, that's great. But don't be surprised if God's not going to test you a little bit because He's got something more for you or you're going to come up against some obstacles and you've got to be ready for that because we do live in a world that is broken. We are going to go through some valleys. We are going to go through some mountaintops. Yeah, I like those. But there's a valley on the other side of every mountaintop. All right? I want to be the best disciple I can be. I'm sure I'm not always the best always. But that should be our desire, to be the best that we can be for Christ because He gave us His best. So my question for you tonight really is your life right before God? Are you the disciple that God wants you to be? Are you loving Him? You know, you don't see Him. You love Him. Although you don't see Him, you're part of Him. And you feel that unexpressible joy, that inexplainable joy that you have from just having Him in your life. So let's stand. I'm going to take a moment here tonight and just maybe just open it up tonight. If you want to come down and pray and just maybe God give you the strength to do the fast. Maybe God's challenging you into an area. Maybe you're unsure of where God's taking you through, what this next door is.